Back here on The Scoop, and we are going to talk a little Timberwolves basketball. We are joined today by the host of the Locked On Wolves podcast,
Colton Molesky. Colton, thanks so much for joining The Scoop here today.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on, Seth.
Absolutely. Let's just take a look at where the Wolves are at this point. The Timberwolves coming off of a big win against the Los Angeles Clippers, 123-109. And Colton, that was coming off of a couple of losses to both the Spurs and the Houston Rockets. How big of a rebound was that for the Timberwolves just to get back into the win column?
Well, it was huge for a couple reasons. First of all, like you mentioned, those two losses, nice to get a rebounding win in a big way, too, over the Clippers, a team with a surprisingly good offense despite the turnover they've had both in the summer and after they traded away Blake Griffin to Detroit. But it was also big because it gives them the tiebreaker over the Clippers. So now if they're headed into the final couple games of the season, for some reason they have the same record as the Clippers, they're going to get that bump into the playoffs even when they're contending or tied if that situation arises at the end. So it was a big win for a couple reasons, and it was good to see the Timberwolves kind of get back on the horse.
We've seen some very good and very strong performances from Karl Anthony Towns, Andrew Wiggins, Jeff Teague. It seems like guys have really been stepping up since Jimmy Butler was injured. And strangely, I saw this on Twitter, and it got me to thinking. It seems like this Wolves offense without Jimmy Butler has been playing at a higher tempo. Which seems weird that you lose arguably your best player and the offense seems like they're able to get into more of a flow.
I would say that the Timberwolves always had the offense to lean on. If you look at their ranking, they average over the season 110 points per game. That is sixth in the NBA. They have the sixth highest scoring offense in the NBA. So when they're top defensive player, not just offensive, but I think really he's kind of the guy who holds it all together on defense for them. And yes, he does do a bunch of things offensively, but defensively is where you really see his presence and the biggest impact for Jimmy Butler on the court. So when that leaves, naturally they're going to go back to the offense and they're going to lean on it more heavily. And I think that's what you're seeing here over the last couple of weeks, is the Timberwolves have just made offense the emphasis because they know they can't grow leaps and bounds on defense every single game, and so they're going to need to rely on their offense more heavily. And so that you see them feed Towns more, you see them take more efficient shots down low and get Taj Gibson going early in games, and they're just relying on that offense that has been very sustainable the entire season.
We've seen from Andrew Wiggins especially, he did a really good job defensively in the game against the Clippers, and it seems like he's starting to really take that to heart, that he needs to bring more of a consistent effort on the defensive side of the ball. And it really seems like he is starting to find himself. The question is he going to be able to do that once Butler returns to the lineup?
I think so. I think that for these young guys, you see for both Towns and Wiggins, you see both these young guys, they've been growing. They've had some growing pains. The whole team's had some growing pains over the course of this season. And now, granted, I'm not going to argue with anybody. Towns has definitely looked more impressive back in December. He's looked more impressive over the last month or so. But both of these guys have kind of grown over the course of the season. Defense has looked better at times for Wiggins or for Towns. Offense has looked better for one or the other at times. But I think as we head into the playoffs, this is probably the best both of these guys have been looking in the same system. And now you add Butler into that. I think that these guys will pair nicely with Butler. You had the complaint from Wiggins earlier in the or a couple weeks ago about how he didn't like to be the third option. I think there's a way to feed him the ball enough times. You saw against the Clippers, he was taking a number of three-point shots. There's a way to feed him where he's happy and where this whole offense kind of hums, and you see them working at peak performance.
I'm glad you brought up that Wiggins remark because I know there was quite a swell on Twitter once it was rumored that he was unhappy with his role on the team. And Tom Thibodeau, I think, had a pretty good response to that. Wiggins is the guy that takes the most shots on the team. So he certainly is getting his volume of shots. And I don't know if maybe he got kind of frustrated with hearing about that, but he has been very integral to this Wolves team. And obviously, if he can keep playing at this level, that max deal certainly looking like it was a good one for the Wolves.
Absolutely. And I'm still of the mindset where I think that in the situation and the time that they gave him that max contract, that was what you had to do. And you can look back and say that it was a bad deal, that they paid him too much money at the over the summer. But at the time that they did it, that was really the only move to make. As far as his shooting, I'm fine with Wiggins taking a lot of shots. I think he's one of those guys where he's a great shooter. He's just got to take, he's got to have a couple misses, got to get a couple shots under his belt just to start warming up. It's the kind of shots he takes. I really want him to see more shots from outside the perimeter, from range. So the other night against the Clippers, that was the kind of game I like to see from Wiggins, because he's taking more shots from the perimeter, and that's really opening up the offense for Towns and Taj Gibson down low. If he's driving to the basket with Teague, where Towns and Gibson already are kind of sitting waiting for post-ups and things like that, that's just going to condense the offense and going to make them easier to defend. So really for Wiggins, it's not the number of shots he's taking, it's where he's taking them on the court for me.
Colton, looking at what's coming up next for the Timberwolves, they will be taking on the Knicks in New York tomorrow night, and then Saturday they play the Philadelphia 76ers on the road. And Philadelphia certainly in the thick of the playoff race in the Eastern Conference. The Knicks, however, are not, but you can't just pencil this game in as a win for the Wolves because of their struggles earlier in the season, losing on the road to Atlanta. They just seem like they struggle on the road, and especially against Eastern Conference teams. Is there anything in particular that leads to them having so much trouble away from Target Center?
There is kind of the narrative around this team, and this started with Wiggins last year, where you saw him not necessarily giving the effort that you'd like to see from what you hope is a star on this team when the games are low profile. When you're playing the Grizzlies on that Tuesday night away from home and it's kind of a grind, not really the effort that you see him giving in a primetime game against like the Cavaliers or something like that, where he would drop 40 points in those situations. And over the course of the season, that's been a little bit of the mantra maybe in the background of this team, is that when it's not a spotlight game and they're on the road away from the fans, and it's the middle of the week, something like that, against a poor team, they play down to their competition. Their effort level you see diminish a little bit. And so that's how you have losses like they had against Phoenix, against the Magic, against the Atlanta Hawks. And these aren't great losses, but at the same time, I really feel like this team is locked in. We're seeing a different kind of Karl Anthony Towns, a Towns that is really owning more possessions every single game, both on both ends of the floor, and he's playing more like a superstar. He's going to get this team locked in, and I anticipate a double-digit point lead over the Knicks when that buzzer hits zeros.
Okay, I like it. It'd be nice for them to be able to take care of business and then turn their attention to watching how the rest of the Western Conference unfolds, which has been a little bit frustrating over the past couple of weeks, because it seems like every time the Wolves win a game, everyone else in the Western Conference playoff standings wins a game too. And it's just, it's mind-boggling, but that was kind of what we thought was going to be the case going into the year with a lot of the strongest teams in the NBA all coming in the Western Conference.
Yeah, it's going to be a down-to-the-wire race. I've been on the edge of my seat for the entire month of March. It's been a lot of fun. It's a little stressful maybe as somebody who covers the Wolves every single day, especially when they had that five-day resting period and they dropped three spots in the playoff standings, even though they weren't playing at all. But it's been fun. It's been a wild ride. If you look past the 76ers game, you have at home against the Grizzlies for the Timberwolves, against the Hawks, and then on the road against the Mavericks. So three games they really should be able to beat the brakes off of all those teams. They've got a tough game against the Jazz and against the Nuggets. One of those are on the road against the Nuggets, and then they have Lakers and Grizzlies again. So a lot of opponents that are playing to lose here in the final 10 games of the season. If they can even win 8 of these games, I think they should be fine. Like I said, they have the tiebreaker against the Clippers, the Denver Nuggets are a couple games up on, and they're up one game on the Jazz as we speak right now. So if they can just win the majority of this last 10-game stretch, they should be fine, and their opponents are playing to lose right now as well.
Colton, as we look at the Western Conference standings, you've got Houston and Golden State already locked in as the one and the two, depending on how things play out. It looks likely, though, that Golden State is going to be just hoping to get to full strength by the end of the regular season. And looking at potential matchups for the opening round of the playoffs, at this point, the Wolves would be slated to play Golden State, and Golden State will be, if they get to full strength, just a nightmare matchup for anybody. How important is it for the Wolves to get to that third or that sixth seed so that they would likely then play Portland in the first round?
I would say it's crucial, just because as good as it is to get to the playoffs, and I saw this stat actually, I believe it's the first 40-win season they've had without Kevin Garnett. And so these stats are huge. These mile marks that they're hitting are really big for the organization. That said, you don't want to get to the playoffs and get swept. And I really think if they play Houston or Golden State in the first round, that's a sweep. And so if they can somehow maybe clean the slate of games to finish out the season, win 10 straight here, they can really have a shot at that sixth spot. If you can just bump out San Antonio and get that sixth spot, I think that would be crucial for the Timberwolves, and I think that makes for a great series. Portland versus the Timberwolves, I think that's a great series, and I think there's a lot of different ways that the Timberwolves can pull out some games, and I think that one goes down to the wire in seven games.
Yeah, I think that would be a fantastic first-round matchup. If the Wolves somehow are able to leapfrog New Orleans as well, then you've got likely Oklahoma City, which would also be a great matchup. But it's hard to project at this point because the standings change so much. And it seems like we could have one of those teams in the top eight fall out of it. And San Antonio today, from all accounts, had a players-only meeting with Kawhi Leonard, trying to get him to make up his mind as to whether or not he wants to come back and play this year. And that situation just seems like it's starting to spiral out of control.
Yeah, I was actually talking with some guys on the show last week, a couple different people on the show. One of them was Jeff Garcia, the host of the Locked On Spurs podcast. And we were just saying how it's really interesting. Not only is this race so tight in the Western Conference, but two of these teams could totally change. And that's the Spurs and the Timberwolves. Two of these teams are going to totally change in the playoffs if their stars come back, and Jimmy Butler and Kawhi Leonard. And so not only are you seeing a really tight playoff race, but these aren't even all the teams that are going to be in there once the playoffs start. They're going to be different rosters once the playoffs get going.
Colton, a couple more to kind of wrap things up here for today. The MVP race continues to put in some great performances. I'm of the mind, as a fan of the Houston Rockets as well, that James Harden has had it wrapped up for quite some time, and his performance against Portland certainly cemented it in my mind. But you've got guys like Anthony Davis, who is doing his best to try to narrow the gap, and then LeBron James, who seems to turn back the clock on a nightly basis and do something we haven't seen before. If you had to go one way or the other, for MVP, who would be your vote today?
Boy, talk about great storylines, too. The MVP race is almost as narrative-driven as it is stats-driven. So you have James Harden coming back to try and win the MVP after a lot of people think he was snubbed against Westbrook. You have LeBron James leading basically two or three different Cavaliers teams to wins and into the playoffs. You have Anthony Davis, Boogie goes down, and he's driving New Orleans into the playoffs. Let me throw this name at you. I know he went down with an injury to his knee, but Kyrie Irving has taken the Boston Celtics to a whole nother level of play after only playing with Gordon Hayward for 6 minutes at the beginning of the season. Can we get some recognition for Kyrie Irving as a Dark Horse MVP candidate?
Yeah, we absolutely can. I'm a fan of the Celtics, too, ever since Kevin Garnett went that way. So Kyrie certainly gets a vote in my book. And I keep saying fans of all these teams. It's hard not to be a fan of the NBA in general, just for all of the competitive games we get on a nightly basis. So it's going to be a fantastic race. to see how things turn out here as we get towards the end of the season. I did want to wrap up, though, Colton, with you, just talking a little bit about your podcast, Locked on Wolves. You mentioned a daily podcast, so just wanted to kind of get a chance for you to fill the listeners in on what you aim to do every day and how you are able to fill a daily podcast with some of the off periods that we've had throughout the season.
No, yeah, like you're saying, daily podcast updating you Monday through Friday on the events and happenings going on with the Timberwolves organization, tracking them throughout the entire season. And it's only 20 to 25 minutes long are the episodes, so really digestible nuggets. It's not going to take up a huge chunk of your day. You can throw it on in the car, and most likely by the time you get to work, the episode will be done. So I'm not going to wear you out with content every day. There's not hour-long episodes. Really easy to digest episodes. And we have tons of guests on. Just last week, I had somebody who's in San Antonio, somebody who's in Houston. I have guys on from SB Nation who write for the NBA side of SB Nation. I had on today, actually, a writer for the Knicks from The Athletic. I have on all kinds of guests from all over the country. I've even had guys on. I had an NBA fantasy basketball guy from Australia come on the show. So all the different kinds of guests and plenty of content. Like you're saying, so many storylines throughout the NBA season, and that is not specific to any one team. All the teams have so many storylines. There's been so much going on with the Timberwolves. We have plenty to talk about, so there's plenty of times where I'm breaking down games. There are times where I'm talking about storylines around the NBA. There's times where I talk about specific storylines with the Timberwolves. It's not necessarily always just talking about the stats from the other game. There's all kinds of stuff. Last week, I talked about March Madness and about prospects that we like coming out of the March Madness tournament for the NBA draft. So there's a little something on every single episode, and there's going to be tons and tons of guests bringing unique takes and different kinds of takes and looks at the NBA. And it all adds into a great show that, again, is only 25 minutes long about. So you can get it in really quickly throughout the day, and then I'll be right there again tomorrow morning with another episode.
Outstanding, Colton. Great stuff today. Listeners can check more out at LockedOnTimberwolves.com. Thanks for joining the Scoop. We'll definitely have to do this again, hopefully closer to the first playoff appearance for the Wolves in what seems like forever, but we'll keep in touch, and we'll do this again real soon.
Thank you again so much for having me on, and I would be happy to return anytime you'll let me.
Colton Molesky of Locked on Wolves joining the Scoop here today to talk a little Timberwolves basketball.